We have a very simple trivia question to win these sweet tickets. You have to be a fan of the show. Well, you have to be a fan of the Texans to get this one. Who is the quarterback who Seth Payne sacked in the first ever game the Texans ever played on that Sunday night? 713-390-5610. Who was the quarterback who Seth Payne sacked for a safety in the end zone? 713-390-5610. You will see us at the Texans and the Patriots preseason game in the Sports Radio 610 suite, which is always a very good time.
Did you? I think I got the most retweets I've ever gotten on a tweet before. When I took a shot of that dude double fisting beers behind home plate last night, and I got like 1,079 retweets. It's very entertaining. But then it turns out, like, when I first noticed it, I thought the guy might genuinely be doing it. He just looked like your beer guzzling grandpa that was sitting back there just trying to keep both beers from getting too warm. But he turned it into an act by the end of the night.
Yeah, he kept. I noticed him. Yeah, I noticed it became a thing.
It was hard not to watch him after that. And he was doing it versus lefties. He'd only
exactly
because he knew he was going to be on the screen.
So you have to wait till the lefty was up. Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
but so now some Phillies fan, you know, kind of very superiorly said, "Well, you know, he has season tickets, and this is kind of a shtick." Like, oh, I'm sorry, I haven't been watching more Phillies games. How did this escape my attention? I haven't been watching Phillies games all season long. Shame on me indeed. But when I first tweeted it out, the thing that intrigued me so much about it was he looked very much like that dude that is retired and just sits in his garage with a fan on him all day, like listening to baseball on the radio, and will drink 18 beers
while doing it,
but will never show in any signs of being drunk or even enjoying the beer he's drinking. These are the guys that fascinate me.
Yeah.
Like the guys that just, they'll drink all day long and they never... Not only do they not get drunk, it just seems like they don't even get anything out of drinking the beer. Do you know people like this? Landry,
My stepdad was like that. He used to drink like a bottle of Tanqueray, and he died actually from alcoholism. But yeah, he would just drink, and it wasn't any enjoyment. It was just like oxygen.
Just,
but yes, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But what point in his life did it get to be like that where, like, so he became an alcoholic and he had to drink just to drink. But like at some point, I would imagine he got some enjoyment out of it, right?
Not that I saw.
Really?
I mean, I didn't see him enjoying it. But, I mean, he would go to work. He was a very successful guy. And then he'd just come home and barbecue at 2 a.m. and drink a bottle of gin and go to bed.
I feel like those guys, I feel like those old school alcoholics, like the guys who would just sit down in front of they'd drink a 12-pack a night or whatever. I feel like in a different time and place, those guys would probably be pot smokers. Because it's not like when I drink, I get happy as hell. Like I want to do stuff. Like, and I get very chatty.
I'm usually not like that.
Depending
on the night.
I love drinking, but like, so that's where it's weird to me when I see guys that don't even, it doesn't seem like they enjoy it. They're like sitting around and just kind of getting numb.
What am I good
for? Alcohol is a bad thing to use on a nightly basis for getting numb. Not good for your body.
One of my good friends, he basically drinks to get drunk only and will not have like a beer or just like a drink or three.
Mm-hmm.
This is the exact reverse of how I drink. I don't want to take shots and consume a lot of alcohol at one time.
Mike's doing it the right way, kids.
I think so.
Mike.
I don't know. If you're going to do that, just don't drink. What's the point of drinking to not get drunk?
But like, if you and I were to go out on a Friday or Saturday night, but Landry never invites me to go out, but if we did, if we met up at a bar or something, I'd be like, let's have a beer.
That's
or two.
A
I'd
lie.
Sit there and I'd consume it while chatting with you.
The one thing about Mike, though, Landry, that you'll find when you're out with him is he does not... There's no part of him that needs to like ease the social awkwardness. He's fine just sitting there.
I've seen him get hammered before, and he's a good time. I enjoyed it. We've done it a couple times, but the thing is, like, I don't think beer. I love beer, obviously, because of the effects. But I don't think I would go to, like, if it were hot and I wanted to go get a snow cone and there were snow cone flavors, I'm not gonna pick beer flavor without alcohol in it.
Oh yeah, what's going on here?
That's Mike when he's...
I would agree. Yes, I'm not a huge fan of the beer flavor in other things. Bill Simmons has a scoop. Bill Simmons'
Wait
scoop...
Wait a second. Is this a Bill Simmons, like an actual scoop, or is this like, I finally figured out which Game of Thrones character Jose Altuve reminds me of? All right, let's scoop.
Bill Simmons...
Why is ESPN so mean to me?
Bill Simmons has a scoop. Oklahoma City and Carmelo Anthony are officially circling each other. Oklahoma City's Troy Weaver recruited Melo to Syracuse, and he has known him since his days in the DMV.
Okay, so they're circling each other.
Yep, they're circling
each other. This is where the Knicks, man, the Knicks are going to nick this up. They're going to, damn it! Damn it, James Dolan! Oh! I'm so angry! They couldn't, this is the, I had a, my cousin who I worked for once, he's a farmer.
Yep.
And he was selling these calf hutches, the little things that calves are in, like they're little calf houses.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed to get rid of them. Or no, he needed to buy some, actually. I'm sorry. He needed to buy some. And he knew that this farmer across town, who's kind of a dullard, had like 10 that he wasn't using at all. So the guy called, the guy talked to my cousin, and he was like, well, I don't know, would you buy them for $50 a piece? And my cousin immediately was like, yeah, that sounds good. I'll take them. And as soon as he hung up the phone, he's like, damn it. I agreed to that too fast. Because, like, now, he didn't haggle or anything, so he knew this guy was going to sit and think about it and then realize that he could have gotten more money.
Yes.
And then it ended up being, like, 3 weeks of haggling to try to get these calf hutches over. That's what it's like dealing with the Knicks. They had something good. It was smoothed up and ready to go. You just had to find some way to deal with Ryan Anderson. But the Knicks had to start overthinking it. They had to think about, oh, we've got new management coming in. We're going to have to do this. We don't like this price. We don't like that. And now they're going to nick it all up. They're not going to end up getting anything good for him anyway, but it's going to be somewhere other than the Rockets.
I can't really. I mean, here's who I am. I don't know if this is going to happen because, you know, Oklahoma City, with Carmelo Anthony, you're trying to find matching contracts, right? In the NBA, you got to match contracts relatively. You can't trade a guy who's making $20 million for a guy who's making $2 million. That's not the way it works for the last, you know, 15 years, whatever. I don't know if I. First of all, I am intrigued by the possibility of Carmelo Anthony, but unlike the people on Rockets Twitter, I am not sitting here desperately waiting news of the Rockets trading for Carmelo Anthony because I think there's a chance that it wouldn't work out, and so I'm not necessarily desperate for it. Having said that, it's hard for me to even criticize the Knicks because I don't even know what they're being offered for Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know in the Rockets packages what they're being offered.
No, and there's also the... It's all you have to know is that they deliberately pumped the brakes on the whole deal.
Which I think objectively they should have done. I agree with that, actually. I agree with what
that
they did.
That's great if you're a Knicks fan. From a very selfish Rockets fan's perspective, I wish they would have just gotten on with it. They've got the potentially. This is what I worry about with the Knicks is that, yes, the parameters of the deal obviously are very important, but I feel like they're going to hold out until the trade deadline midseason as they go through a miserable experience where there's discontent with Carmelo Anthony, and they're going to end up not getting anything different from him or actually probably substantially less from at the trade deadline during the regular season. That's what I worry about with the Knicks. That they're just going to flatten out, keep balking at everything because they don't know what's good for them. Now, you're right. It's a complex scenario involving potentially four teams for the Rockets to actually pull it off. But of all teams, think about if the Rockets were trying to pull this off with, say, a team like the Warriors or the Spurs or somebody that actually knows what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
You'd feel a whole lot better about it. When you're trying to execute a four-team trade with the Knicks, you get real nervous because they don't know what the hell they're doing.
I'm not actually nervous at all, mainly because I don't think the Rockets are offering much.
Right.
And I just think that I actually think the Knicks.
Well, you're not nervous because you don't care if Carmelo comes or not.
Basically.
The people that are excited, I think most people that are excited about Carmelo aren't necessarily, you know, going to have a parade for him when he shows up. It's that the prospect of Carmelo coming and actually working out.
And having these three guys
there's
here.
More of a potential of beating the Warriors if that works out than what you have with the current situation.
We got a winner for our tickets. Landry, I assume.
Sean T. Sean Tizzle.
Sean, he knew that Seth Payne sacked Quincy Carter in the end zone in the Texans' first ever game.
Good chance he was high, so.
No, that's fine. Yeah. That's good to be high at 7:45 once in a while. Next chance to win.
No, Quincy Carter.
Quincy Carter? Yeah. Oh, not Sean.
Talking about our listeners.
Did I defame Sean? Sorry, Sean. 7:45 tomorrow.
Sean's wife's like, what the hell's going on?
Why is he
what
high?
Do you guys know about Sean?
Next chance to win those sweet tickets is going to be tomorrow on the show at 7:45. Mike Tyson weighs in on McGregor-Mayweather. We'll hear that at 8:45, top of the hour. Bill O'Brien on his excitement level for his new rookie quarterback, Deshaun Watson. This is Mad Radio.